Today, several scriptures are on my heart, and we will begin with Genesis 13. Genesis 13, the Lord's encounter with Abraham. Genesis 14, excuse me, from verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. The first thought that became great to me was this: the Lord, who here as Melchizedek, king of Salem, approaches Abraham as priest, does not come empty-handed. He has bread and wine. He wants to sup with Abraham. He wants to have fellowship with him. Abraham, one chosen by God, one called by God, one blessed, a man who received promises and who believed and who obediently walked the path of the Lord. God was with him. And when the Lord came to meet him, it was not with empty hands. We are the seed of Abraham. God does not come to meet us empty-handed, not with empty words, not with empty promises. He comes to meet us with a full gospel. We can receive what he has promised. This thought has become great and precious to me. We come with promises we cannot fulfill, but God comes to do what he has promised us by grace. We will read more from Hebrews, but before we do so, I would like to read from Galatians 3:29, so that you know that these promises also apply to us. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What God did with Abraham, he does with Abraham's seed, with the children of God who believe God's promises and obediently follow the Lord. Today, the Lord comes to meet you and me, and you can be sure that he does not come empty-handed, not with empty words. He comes to give you and me what we urgently need today. And I know that there are needs, and I know the one who can take away all these needs, yes, who is able to satisfy all needs. It was not Abraham who went out to meet the Lord. The Lord came out to meet Abraham, to sup with him. The Lord comes out to meet us today. He draws near to you. He draws near to me. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to sup with us. He wants to give you and me the hidden manna, and he wants to water us with delight as with a river. Galatians 4, verse 9. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, this is a very important point, to know God and to be known by God. They belong together. The last book of the Bible begins with the words, Revelation of Jesus Christ. No riddles, no guessing, no. The veil has been lifted. The curtain is no longer there. We see Jesus Christ as he is. And you will soon see that he was the king of Salem, but not yet a son, for as a son he was not yet born. Let me read it to you from the Holy Scriptures. Hebrews chapter 7 from verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. No man is king of righteousness. No man is king of peace. There is only one to whom these titles apply, and that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Hosts. The next verse says, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. At that time he had no father and no mother. The Word had not yet become flesh, nor had the seed been made known or manifested in the flesh. Only when the word of promise was given to Mary did come to pass that the word became flesh and that the Son of God was born. I hope that especially from the next brochure that will be published, we will understand the subject of the Godhead in a wonderful way through revelation. God cannot be explained, described, or formulated in comprehensible words. He is above all explanations. And yet, He reveals Himself to all who seek refuge in Him, who are humble enough to listen and believe what He has to say. So, this Melchizedek, King of Salem, Salem is Jerusalem, the city of peace, King of righteousness, King of peace. He has no father, no mother, no descent, neither a beginning of his days, nor an end to his life. There is only one who did not begin and who cannot end, and that is the Lord. This Lord came in the flesh, took on human form to redeem us who were lost here in the flesh through sin and restore us to divine status. This is not a matter of opinion that can be disputed. It is a divine truth and reality. The last verse of Hebrews 6 says of Melchizedek, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. In the Old Testament, no beginning, no end, no father, no mother. But then came the turning point. Then came the New Testament. Then the promises became divine reality. And Christ thus became the beginning of God's creation, not the beginning of the creation of the world or the universe, but creation through begetting, which received eternal life through the one who brought it to us. We continue reading from verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better.
Nun ist es aber durchaus unbestreitbar, dass das Geringere von dem Höheren gesegnet wird.
If one were to read only this one scripture, one might guess and puzzle, one might interpret. But if one reads the first and the second and the third, then one gets the answer and knows who it was who went out to meet Abraham and blessed him who had received the promises and believed. Who can bless but the Lord alone? We can ask for blessings, but only the Lord alone can bless. This term, King of Peace, King of Righteousness, if we follow this thought, we need only read the familiar words from Zechariah 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Behold, your king is coming to you, King of Salem, King of Righteousness, King of Peace, King of Kings. This word has already been fulfilled. He has come. You can read about it in Matthew 21, verses 1 to 9, when the Lord made his entry into Jerusalem. What amazed me today was when I read in Genesis 49 that even there in the blessing it is written about the donkey and the colt, one would hardly think it possible how accurately the Spirit of God predicted these things. Read with me Genesis 49, verses 10 and 11. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs. The nations will obey him, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. Beloved, the Spirit of God in the prophets, in the men of God, predicted everything that would come and how it would come. Here we read about the tribe of Judah. Judah was blessed with these words. Jesus, our Lord, the Lamb of God, is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And here we are told, until he comes to whom the scepter belongs, the nations will wait for him. It is even written, and the nations will obey him. To this day, it has not yet come true, but it will come true. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And all will have to admit that the mouth of the Lord has spoken, and that everything has been fulfilled. I will read these words again. May they become as precious to you as they have become to me. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs. The nations will obey him. And then it says, binding his foal to the vine, and his colt to the choicest vine. What did he say to his disciples at that time? Go into the village, and there you will find a donkey and her foal. Untie them. Bring them to me. And tell the owner, I will send them back. The disciples went and found it, just as he had said, for so it is written. Dear heart, God watches over his word, and when the hour of fulfillment comes, the donkey and the foal must be there. Is that true or not? Then things do not have to be done first. It doesn't have to be achieved somehow. They are simply there. All we need to do is take them and thank the Lord for ensuring that everything is fulfilled at the right time. What is written in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 5 and 6, for unto us a child is born, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And here we are told, until he comes, to whom the scepter belongs. He has come. These promises have been fulfilled. We are redeemed. We have been saved. We have been pardoned. And thus we rest in God and have come to rest from our own works. When the man of God blessed the sons there, what did he know about what he was saying? It was not deliberation, it was inspiration from the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! I am so grateful to God that this word is inspired, that this word is true, that it is a living, penetrating, powerful, effective word. And as we just said, when the time was fulfilled and the king came, there was the donkey, there was the foal, just as it had been spoken at the blessing. How many years have passed, whether 1,000, 2,000 or 3,000, it doesn't matter. God's word is being fulfilled. Believe, always believe, as the song goes. Have not many waited for what is written to be fulfilled in their days? But the time was not yet come. In the days of the Reformation, how did Luther dismantle the Antichrist? And anyone who has the second edition of the Luther Bible, as I do, an ancient book, and then reads the prefaces, especially to the prophet Daniel, he will realize with what divine revelation it was written. But the time was not yet come. Now God has sent a prophet in our days, and we are not ashamed to say this clearly and plainly. When the Holy Scripture says that many false prophets will arise, it is just as true as when the Holy Scripture says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. May many false prophets arise. It's a fulfillment of Scripture. But in order that Scripture might not be broken, a true prophet of God also had to appear, to whom the word of the Lord could come. who did not read things from books or pull them out of thin air or to fetch them from a seminary, but to whom the word of the Lord came. We do not make him an idol, but we are grateful to God for him, just as we are grateful to God for all the servants and prophets whom the Lord has used. From Luke 24, I would like to read verses 30 and 31. Luke 24, verses 30 and 31. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. He supped with his own. He came to Abraham with bread and wine to sup with him, to have fellowship with him. Here, after the resurrection, the Lord was invited by his disciples, at least two of them, and he supped with them. Let me say this clearly, whether 12, whether 2, whether 20, whether 200, the Lord wants to sup with us. No crowd is too small for him. There are great evangelists, and it is no secret. A large crowd must gather before they agree to come. Success must be assured, but there is one for whom no crowd is too small. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. He does not look at the great things that are great in our eyes. He looks into your heart and mine, and he waits to be invited. And I tell you, he will come. He will come and sup with us. There is another scripture in Revelation 3, verse 20, which should be of utmost importance to us. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. It can also be an individual, as Abraham was an individual at that time. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him. It begins with you and God, and only then, when two or three gather together. But there must be those who have already had a personal encounter with the Lord. Beloved, I do not want to have only preached, for many can do that. I want to have preached in the certainty that people have had an encounter with the Lord. I want to have proclaimed the Word of God in the certainty that people have been led to God. have heard his word, have opened their hearts, and have had fellowship with him. Here it says, behold, I stand at the door. This door, Brother Ram says in a sermon, is not opened from the outside. It is opened from the inside. It has no handle on the outside. It is you and it is me. We must open it from the inside. The Lord is knocking. He is knocking. He cannot open it. You must open it. I must open it. We must invite him in. When someone comes to us and knocks, we say, come in, come in, come in. Today, the Lord is knocking on your heart and mine, on the door of your heart and mine. But he does not break down the door by force. He waits for us to hear the knocking and hear his voice and open the door. I will read it again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. At that time, he did so with Abraham. And you know that our Lord instituted the Lord's Supper as a remembrance of his suffering and death. But every time we come together to hear the Word of God, we may sit down at a richly laid table and partake of spiritual food, namely the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How do you feel when you read Genesis 49, as we just did together? The scepter shall not depart from Judah until he comes to whom it belongs, and the nations will obey him. He shall bind the foal and his colt to the vine. This makes our heart leap. We say, O God, how wonderful you are! How glorious is your name! But how simple are your deeds! People expected something extraordinary from God. And it has been extraordinary and will always remain so, but not extraordinary in the way that people think. When we think today of the birth of our Lord, the greatest event in the entire history of the world, and behold, no trumpets were blown, no royal palace was prepared, there was no room in the inn, a stable for the King of Kings. That's why the wise and prudent stumble over it. Because God does the greatest and most glorious and majestic things in a simple way. Even his greatest revelations are so simple that the wise just can't cope with it. It's not complicated enough for them. For us, the word of the prophet Isaiah from chapter 35 applies. that even a fool cannot err on this way. God has made a way, a prepared way, the highway of the redeemed. A fool cannot err on it. If anyone errs, it is the wise, the clever, and the scribes. But to the babes, God has revealed it. They cannot err, because they keep His word. Because they have taken the word into themselves, the Lord comes to meet them just as He came to meet Abraham. Today, the Lord has met you and me in His word. Today, He has come to meet us. Today, He has made some things from His word great and glorious for us, has made His word spiritual food for us. As I have often said, good food is not discussed or argued about. It is eaten, and that's what we do with the revealed Word of God. We do not argue, we do not interpret, we consume what God has prepared for us, and He has set a rich table for us in the presence of our enemies. We are sincerely grateful to God. As with Abraham, so with all of Abraham's seed, with the true believers who are distinguished by their faith in God's promises for their days. Shall I repeat it? Many are believers. Lot was also a believer, and many others with him. Abraham was not only a believer, he was an example, a reference point for those who in their time would hear, accept, and believe the divine promises that were to be fulfilled. Therefore, the true believers are the seed of Abraham and believe in their days the word promised by God without any compromise, without any ifs or buts. Did God say, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes? Then He did not say it so that we discuss about it, but that we believe it. God said everything so that we would believe it. Blessed is he who takes no offense at me, said the Lord. The scribes, they say, oh no, it couldn't have been him. If God hath chosen someone, then the man would have had to be like this and that. Who wants to be God's counselor? Who wants to tell him what to do? In the days of Jesus, there were many scribes. They sat in the synagogues and in the temple, read and taught others, and were not themselves taught by God, and had no revelation of what was happening in their days. A man named John, a wild man who ate locusts and wild honey, not with a knife and fork, not in an elegant way as we have today, but simply and plainly. It impresses me that the great God, the Holy God, reveals Himself in such a simple way. A man with a camel skin with a leather girdle around his loins. He appeared and preached the kingdom of God and prepared the way for the Lord and prepared the people so that they could believe. The same thing happened in this generation. I will never forget one of the greatest evangelists. It is not proper to mention his name, but he said to me, that man, William Branham, with his hillbilly English, that's supposed to be the man. Everyone else has a university education, and then conceit is added to education, and then it's all over. God took a man who was simple and straightforward, who did not mix the word, did not interpret it, but received it through revelation and passed it on through divine inspiration. And we have the confirmation in the Holy Scriptures themselves, because everything from A to Z agrees 100%. I would not be a fool to believe if things did not agree with the Holy Scripture. But if they do agree, and we see the fulfillment quite clearly, and then want to deny it, beloved, that is dangerous. No one should do that. If the Lord were standing here today, he would do what he did back then in the synagogue at Capernaum, when he was handed the prophet Isaiah and read from chapter 61 and then said, today this scripture is fulfilled before your eyes. All looked at him and said, never has anyone spoken like this. Hallelujah. This is still true to this day. Never has anyone spoken like him. He still speaks today through his word. Even though he used human lips, God's word remains God's word. And we are grateful that the holy anointing was upon our beloved brother Branham, and that his preaching was in absolute harmony with the Old and New Testament of the prophets and apostles. And we believe that we have been brought back to the original word. I emphasize this again on purpose. I believe that the task was to lead us back to the Word of God. How many have closed the Bible and said, we didn't understand it, so now we have the sermons, and that's enough for us. The sermons are absolutely necessary, but they lead us back to this original word. Every sermon has come from the word and leads us back to the word. Otherwise, we will leave the ground of the word and thus the foundation, and we will build what cannot stand before God. Let us take this from this service. The Lord came to meet Abraham because it was about bread and wine. He came as a priest, as Melchizedek. At that time, he was still in a spiritual body. Only later did he come from the spiritual body into the flesh. in order to die here, to transform this earthly body back into an immortal body, as we will have after the resurrection and after the transformation. Is this clear to us? Amen. It's just glorious. It's wonderful. At that time, he had no father, no mother, no descent, no origin, no beginning, no end. Even today, he still does not. But he was born. Then a father-son relationship was established. I am now writing about it. It's glorious. It's great. God has such a wonderful plan. Blessed are the people. As Irenaeus said back then, one of the messengers of the Lord God, to whom God loves, he shows his plan. Just as the architect shows his plan to those who are to help build the house. And so we are grateful that the great architect, the great planner, the great builder has left a clear blueprint for his people who are to help with this great construction. You all know very well, especially our dear brother Gabriel, who works in construction, that everything must be done according to the blueprint. Not everyone can do what they want. That is not possible. God has a plan, and to those whom he is gracious, he allows them to see into this plan. And I tell you, we have been given a wonderful insight into the great plan of our God in these days. And we are grateful for our beloved brother Branham, who in his simplicity was so powerfully used by God. For those who are not familiar with his ministry and commission, it may seem strange when his name is mentioned from time to time. I ask you, if you had heard John the Baptist, would you not have mentioned his name as well? If you had heard Paul preach, you would have talked about nothing else. Listen, there is a man of God to whom the Lord has appeared. Before he was Saul, but now he's Paul, a powerful man of God. There is nothing wrong with that. But we give honor and praise to God alone, who sends his servants at all times to speak to his people. We are grateful that we can distinguish between the two. Many cannot distinguish between them. But we are grateful to the Lord that we are able to make this distinction, and we rejoice. Today the Lord has come to meet you and me in love, not empty-handed, to sup with us. And he emphasizes once again, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him. And when he comes in, he says, today, salvation has come to this house. Today, salvation has come to you and me, if we can enter your heart and mind today. Praised and glorified be his name. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we come together with all those who have raised their hands, even with those who still hesitate. Faithful Lord, yes, we all come. We come as we are. We see you. You come to meet us. You have come to meet us this afternoon.
Hallelujah.
You have fed us. You have given us drink. You have supped with us. For your word is our food. Hallelujah. And you are the rock that was struck, from which living water flows. We thank you for this. Beloved Lord, save, heal, deliver, bless. Let it be known that we have had an encounter with you, and you with us. Hallelujah. That we have been saved, that we have found peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification, forgiveness, purification, sanctification, new life from God. Hallelujah. O Lord, I thank you for the Old and New Testament. Faithful God, it becomes ever more precious to me. O God, you had simple people. They laid their hands on, and you spoke through them. Hallelujah. Oh, how wonderful, how glorious is your word. And the beautiful thing is, it is true. Hallelujah. It is being fulfilled. Not one jot of your word will pass away. Everything will be fulfilled. Lord, you spoke then that the scripture might be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Even today, scripture is being fulfilled in many ways before our eyes. Thank you for the prophetic revelation of your divine plan of salvation. Thank you for the insight you have given us. Thank you for the prophetic ministry in which we are allowed to participate and from which we can draw blessings. We give thanks for everything. I thank you for every soul you have saved, for every brother, for every sister. I thank you for your entire people. I thank you for this city, for this country, for this place we have, where we can come together to contemplate your word, hear your voice, and give thanks to you. Faithful Lord, accept us anew and bless us as you blessed Abraham, saying, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. Thank you for this day, in Jesus' name. Amen.